Welcome to Chapter 9 of the Service Marketing Series. In the previous chapter, we spoke about customer perception of service and what are the benefits for a business if they are regularly able to exceed and meet customer expectations. Here we will talk about how to ensure that you as a business can meet and exceed customer expectations. Now, we briefly touched upon the element of surprise when it comes to being able to meet customer expectation. That's the first tip. To be able to meet and exceed customer expectations, you need to always create and maintain an element of surprise, because customer expectations evolve over time, not just because of their interactions with you as a company, but also because of their interaction with other businesses. So we discussed the example of a tea cafe serving free cookies to create customer delight, and how that becomes expected level of service over a period of time, so much that if the business stops giving free complimentary cookies, that same delighter or wow could now become a dissatisfier. Let's discuss another example. Suppose if you are an e-commerce website and you start a new e-commerce website. For example, suppose if you are selling custom printed t-shirts for kids, for men, for women. And when customers order t-shirts from you, custom printed t-shirts, you send them maybe a mouse pads with the same design. Let's just take that as an example. So if I order maybe an Avengers design t-shirt, you give me an Avengers design mouse pad, the same design on my t-shirt, the same design on the mouse pad. Now, as a customer, I never experienced this from any other custom t-shirt suppliers earlier. So the first time I get this same design on the mouse pad as the t-shirt, it's an element of surprise for me. It's wow, I did not expect this. You never promised this as a business. It was not mentioned on your portal. That just comes with the shipment. It creates a surprise element, and a happy surprise, a pleasant surprise. And as a customer, I would go like, wow, I never expected this. And I will maybe click a picture, put it on Instagram, or I would tell my friends, anybody who asks me about my t-shirt, and I would tell them, listen, hey, I ordered this from soandso.com, and this is what I got as a surprise gift, and everybody would love that. So I continue ordering from you, second, third, fourth, maybe five t-shirts, and I receive five custom mouse pad designs. But that may have been a promotional strategy by your company that's new in this business and wanted to create customer loyalty. And hence, you cut down on your profit margins by giving free custom design mouse pads to your customers. But say over a period of 6 months, your business has done well, you've acquired customers, and customers are now making repeat purchase on your website. I, for example, have already made 5 purchases. So now the management comes together and they know that, okay, the t-shirts are good, the designs are good, customers are happy. You stop to cut down on the promotional spend. So no more free mouse pads with every t-shirt. The 6th time I order it, I don't receive my mouse pad and I'm dissatisfied. I may have been using that to gift it to my friends or kids or employees or colleagues. Now I did not receive that. So now I don't like this. I wanted that to happen. So now your business started a practice of surprising me with a free gift, but you stopped that without any notification. So there have to be better ways to manage that. Either you can keep on changing the free gift that you give with the t-shirt, or the first time or the second time you send a free gift, you need to communicate to the customer that this is a promotional offer or a promotional strategy. So at the back of my mind, in my subconscious or conscious, I know that this is a temporary offer. To make more of it, let me order more in the short term, but after a few months or few weeks, this offer may not be valid. So as a business, always look to create an element of surprise to stay ahead of the competition. Understand what wows your customer, what makes your customer happy and delighted, and repeat those actions and go a step further. Create that pleasant surprise every time a customer interacts with you. Doesn't always have to cost you, but understand, brainstorm on how you could pleasantly surprise your customer. A WhatsApp birthday wish may also work for some business categories. The customer does not expect that, for example. So create that pleasant surprise. Number two on how to meet and exceed customer expectations is improve response time to the customers, especially response time to complaints. We spoke about the rater model in one of the earlier videos, the last R being for responsiveness. Customers highly value and appreciate responsive businesses. So if I come to you with a complaint, either on a phone call or an email, I want to be heard. I want somebody to react and respond to my complaint. At least let me know that, okay, we've registered your complaint, empathize with me, tell me that you understand my challenge and my problem, and you will do your best to resolve that problem for me. The resolution may take time depending upon how complex the solution may be, but responsiveness doesn't take time. Respond immediately. You can respond a little later to maybe feedback or suggestions, but when it comes to complaints, ensure you could respond instantly. So reduce that response time. A customer feels good. Anybody who is in pain, who doesn't like something, maybe somebody who's received a defective or a high bill, they want to be heard. They are furious about something. They want to be heard. That's the least that you could do as a service provider. So improve your response time, especially to complaints, to meet and exceed customer expectations. Number three is provide a standardized experience across all touch points. So it doesn't help having a great sales rep who is very pleasant to talk to, very outgoing, happy looking chap, but having a very boring, sad service rep. So when buying your service, the customer meets a very happy sales rep who's ready to offer discounts, ready to offer bonuses, and is really willing to answer all your questions, give you case studies and stories, and tell you how good a company you are. But when the actual after sales service starts, the customer meets a very boring looking service rep who is least interested in what the customer has to say, or even if he is, the person is not able to show enthusiasm talking to the customer. Don't do that. Have a standardized experience across all touch points. It should be uniform. The customer shouldn't feel that they are dealing with different people in different organizations. Give them the same feel. A brand's experience is not just about the brand color or the brand logo. It's also about the people that represent the brand. So ensure that the customer gets and feels a standardized uniform experience across all touch points, pre-sales, sales, after sales, registration, sign up, cancellation, payments, everywhere. Then make promises which can be kept. It's a very common saying that under promise and over deliver. Don't make promises that you can't keep. Always ensure that if you've committed something to a customer, that should be accomplished. So make promises which can be kept, and try and deliver personalized services. Every person likes to receive personalized attention. It could be as simple as addressing them by their names. So don't send mass emails without any salutation, and show that your emails have the person's name, first name, last name, but ensure that the email is addressed to the customer as an individual person. So create an element of surprise, ensure that you're able to improve the response time to the customer, especially your response time to complaints. Provide a standardized experience across all customer touch points. Make promises which can be kept, and deliver personalized services. Now there are three stages when it comes to a customer's perception of services. First is exposure. Now, exposure occurs when an interest is developed, either due to pull factors such as might, sight, smell, or touch. For example, you may be a new brand, as I said, selling custom printed t-shirts. Now, as a customer, I've never heard of your brand. Maybe I'm browsing something on Facebook and I suddenly see an ad promoting your custom printed t-shirt e-commerce website. And I like the design that you've used in the social media ad. But that design, that image, that ad acts as a pull factor. I like what I saw, right? And I'm interested. Now, I was not looking for a custom printed t-shirt e-commerce website. I know of a few, and maybe I don't order as much, but your creative, your ad just pulled me into it. So now what that does is it exposes me to your service. I was not looking for it. It just exposes me to the service. And this happens all the while as we walk around shopping malls or highways, we see hoardings with different ads. At times we are exposed to things that we are not looking for. And then we start developing an interest, and then we start exploring that category or that company. So exposure is the first stage where you can create a customer perception. So when I saw that ad of that custom printed t-shirt on Facebook, it creates a perception that, okay, this is the quality of design that I will get when I click on the ad and visit the website. So the website needs to match this quality. You can't have a great looking t-shirt in the ad, and when I move on to the site, there's only a handful of designs, a few great, the others pretty average. You need to ensure that you keep the perception and deliver what you promised in the ad. So from exposure, the customer's perception would move to attention. Attention refers to the extent to which processing activity is devoted to a particular stimulus. So you've got my exposure. Now you want my attention to either maybe browse, maybe your call to action right now as a business is that you want me as a customer to browse maximum number of designs on your site, or you want me to go ahead and maybe get a free t-shirt as a promotional offer that, okay, your first 100 viewers get a free t-shirt each. Just a random example. Or you actually want me to place an order, or you want me to click on the share button and share your website with my entire network on, say, Facebook or Instagram or other social media activities. So you've exposed me to your product, to your service, to your website, to your delivery promise, and now you want to grab my attention to make me do something that you want. So you want to me to devote to a particular stimulus, either see more, browse more, visit your service center, share with my network, give a testimonial, or maybe make a purchase. And then we have the interpretation. So this is the third stage of customer perception, which is interpretation. This relates to an information selected by recalling, minding relevant, familiar information to make sense of what you're hearing and seeing is interpreting. So what you see, what you perceive, so you should be able to interpret that. So when I look at your ad, I have a perception and I move on to your website. So my interpretation should be validated. So this is the third stage where the information which has been selected needs to be relevant. And when I actually reach where you want me to be, for example, a physical space or your mobile app or your website, I should get familiar information to what my perception was. If there is a mismatch, there will be a gap, right? We spoke about the gap model, what I perceive and what I get. So here, after being exposed and after you grab my attention, when I actually reach your physical space or your website, or I talk to somebody, I need to get familiar information that validates my perception, that reinforces my perception. If that's not the case, there will be a gap, and then I'll be doubtful of whether I really want to buy from you, whether I really want to subscribe to your business or not. So exposure, attention, and interpretation are three stages of perception of services by customers. Let's now talk about the attributes of quality of service. As we said, service is intangible, but what are the attributes of quality of service or service quality? Now, the attributes of service quality can be divided into reliability. So how reliable is the service provider. So can you live up to the promises that you have made? Can you deliver on what you have committed to the customer? Then there's responsiveness, as we've spoke about how responsiveness creates customer loyalty, or it could lead to customer churn if you are unresponsive or if you do not respond as quickly as the customer wants you to. Then comes assurance. So, and empathy and tangibles. So this again is the Rater model: reliability, assurance, tangibles, empathy, and responsiveness. So each of these could be attributes to measure the quality of service, how reliable you are, how responsive you are. And responsiveness could be measured: how much time do you really take to respond to a customer query? Assurance, so are your people or is your communication on your portal, on your website, on your app, on your brochures, on your email, or somebody on the phone call, are you able to assure to the customer and get that trust, get that confidence that the service quality would be as good as the customer expects or perceives it to be? And then empathy. Can you empathize with the customer when he or she is not happy with the service quality? And tangibles. So can you add those measurable parameters to the service quality? For example, we spoke about insurance claims, percentage of insurance claims processed within a certain time, or the speed of a high-speed connection, or the time it takes to place an order or receive an order after they make an order on your online website. So how can you make it tangible and measurable? So these attributes influence the customer service experience, customer loyalty, and hence they eventually influence the revenue that your business makes. So let's understand these attributes of the Rater model again. First is reliability, the ability to perform the promised service dependably and accurately. Now, dependably and accurately are again perceptions, subjective. As dependable as the customer wants you to be, as accurate as the customer expects you to be. But are you able to deliver what you promised? That's as simple as that. So if you promise that you will deliver a product within 24 hours, can you actually deliver within 24 hours or not? So customers would want to be associated with companies that keep their promises. So if you promise the customer that you buy insurance from us for your vehicle, in case when you need to file for a claim, we will respond to you within 30 minutes. So if the customer buys insurance for his car, the car meets with an accident, and the customer needs to take you to the service center, he first needs the insurance company to send somebody, or maybe on a video call, verify the customer's claim. You promise 30 minutes. So the customer expects you to validate his claim for motor insurance within 30 minutes. Can you live up to that? If yes, the customer is happy that he or she made the right choice buying vehicle insurance from your company. If you cannot, the customer is pissed off, because that's the time when he needs you as a provider to pitch in, because he needs to take his damaged vehicle to the service center because his mode of transportation is now broken, and he needs you as a company to pitch in, for which he's been paying a premium. But if you cannot deliver as promised, he's dissatisfied. And when the time comes to renew his insurance the next year, he or she is most likely to look for some other insurance service provider. Then comes responsiveness. We've spoken about how important it is when you want to create a differentiation and let the customer know that you care for the customer and you're happy for him or her to do business with you, is to be responsive. So responsiveness is the willingness to help customers and provide prompt service, like promptness in dealing with customer requests, questions, complaints, and problems. Now remember that like service, responsiveness is also intangible. Prompt service is also intangible. Some people are happy waiting 20 minutes in a restaurant. Some people want orders to be served within 5 minutes. So what's prompt for your group of customers? That you get to know during marketing research, or by analyzing customer behavior over a period of time. So quantify what is responsive enough for your group of customers. Then we move on to assurance. Now, assurance is your employees, your peoples, or you yourself demonstrating to the customer the ability of the firm to inspire trust and confidence. So when a customer comes to you and he, example, wants to book a travel package, now the customer just wants to ask a few questions that, will that hotel be good for my family to stay? The customer knows that your answer is going to be yes, but he or she still wants you to validate and reconfirm that he or she is making the right choice by booking the travel package, the hotel stay from your company. So even though he or she knows that you're going to say yes, this is the perfect choice that you've made, it's how confident you are in reconfirming that to the customer. So can you verbally and even non-verbally give that assurance to the customer that, hey, you are making the right choice by deciding to buy from us? That's important. So reliability, responsiveness, assurance. Let's move on to the fourth one, which is very important in people-to-people relationships. That's empathy. So empathy is the ability to empathize with the customer or understand their problems and not just acknowledge the same. Don't just say, okay, I understand you have a problem. You need to make the customer feel that you really understand their pain and you are willing to put yourself in the customer's shoes. So empathy is what people look for first when they come and tell you their problem. So if you had somebody who's booked a travel package, he's moved to a resort, and he wants an early check-in, he was promised an early check-in, but the hotel management says that, sorry, sir, you'll have to wait because the room is not available. So the person is traveling with family, maybe aging parents or young kids, toddlers, and the resort or the hotel denies early check-in, which was promised to the customer. The customer calls the travel agency helpline. He wants the rep or the person who answers the phone call to first empathize, say sorry for the problem, and also express empathy and then help him resolve the problem. Talk to the resort owner, talk to the hotel manager, and resolve the problem for the customer. And then tangibles. So as services are intangible, customers derive their perception of service quality by comparing the tangible factors associated with these service providers. That is, it is the appearance of the physical facility, such as the exteriors and interiors where service is delivered. How appealing it is, the grooming aspect of the people involved in service delivery, etc. As I said, if you want to have burgers and fries, if you walk into a QSR like McDonald's, or if you walk into a fine dine restaurant serving burgers and fries, your expectations, your perception is very different. So that's what makes it tangible. You make the service perception tangible based on the associated physical attributes. In terms of a physical space, it's the infrastructure, it's the hygiene, it's the smart attire of your people. In terms of an online business, it's about the UI and UX of your website or your mobile app. So these attributes influence the customer service experience, and hence they influence customer loyalty and finally the revenue for your business. So how do you measure customer satisfaction? Now, customer satisfaction simply defined as a measurement that determines how happy customers are with the company's products, services, and their handling of the entire customer experience journey. You all may have received customer satisfaction surveys, right? Maybe on an email or on an SMS. Or if you're walking through a mall, you may see those small standees with three buttons there, a smiley, a sad smiley, and they asked you to press and rate how the service was. Or you may get a survey on a 5-scale rating or a 10-scale rating, and you are asked to rate how satisfied are you with the overall experience. So that these are different ways of collecting surveys and inputs for measuring customer satisfaction. So customer satisfaction, as I said, is measured by various tools, the principal being the CSAT surveys. So you do it sometimes over the phone, you send an email, you send a notification on a website, SMS, or you do it giving a physical CSAT survey form to the customer if you have the option to do that. For example, in service centers, after your request has been processed, resolved, they give you a physical form. In hospitals, they give you a physical form. In service centers, for telecom companies, you get a physical form. So you fill up the form and you answer the question and how satisfied you were. And you also have an option of giving subjective feedback for them to improve their customer satisfaction. So with the advent of technology, feedback of the service is now taken immediately. So as soon as, for example, if you're talking to the telephone service, the telephone representative for a service company, as soon as you hang up the phone, you may receive an SMS to rate the courteousness or the responsiveness of the service rep. It happens real time. And since the input is electronic, they can even analyze the customer's feedback real time and measure what is their customer satisfaction score. So these are different ways that you can measure customer satisfaction. And when you receive negative feedback, that's the time when you go ahead and ask the customer on what is it or what was it about the service that they did not like. And then you analyze all those negative comments and feedback and try and improve upon your customer satisfaction scores, customer experience, to ensure that you create better experience for customers in the future. That's the end of this chapter. Look forward to seeing you in the next chapter. Thank you.